Welcome to Your Weather on the Coin Podcast Network. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Keep Oregon Green. Prevent wildfires. From getting to work and school to getting outside and away from it all, weather impacts everything we do.
And a look at some stats over the summer season.
From Portland's most accurate forecast team.
A stretch of time where we're dry is kind of interesting.
With meteorologist Kelly Bairn.
And we're back.
And Joseph Dames.
I don't mind kale, it's not my favorite.
This is Your Weather.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back into another Your Weather Week podcast. It is Monday, July 26th, and I'm meteorologist Kelly Bairn, and we've got our weekend meteorologist Joseph Dames on the other line. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice start to the week, and we have a lot to talk about. Again, I feel like some of these weeks in summer can be just the same thing over and over again, but this week I think we have a decent amount to discuss.
Yeah, a lot of action going on across the state, and just a list of different things that impact different regions in Oregon. So there will be a lot of information that you want to tune into, but first we just have to do the icebreaker question. And
I forget about the icebreaker question every week. I know it's a big part of the podcast and I forget about it. And then you bring it up. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. We can't just have straight information. We got to have some fun too, you know?
Yeah, we have to have some fun.
Well, it's also great because today is my birthday and it is just,
happy birthday.
I just feel older and wiser and it's been a great day. I love having a summer birthday because it's always hot out and sunny. So it's been nice so far. And so one of my favorite things to do in the summer is make s'mores. And I wanted to ask you, how do you make your marshmallows when you're roasting them?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
I
don't like to char them, at least not on purpose. You know, sometimes if you just let it go like 2-3 seconds long, it will just turns into a ball of flames and you got to blow it out and char it out. No, I like it. This is a perfect toast to it. You know, it's just
golden
like,
brown.
Yeah. Golden brown. You have to have that, like, it's like a nice sear on a steak or something. You just need that like perfect toast to it where it makes the outside a little hard and then you smash it into the graham cracker and it like it's warm on the inside. So somewhere around there. I don't like to overdo it. I definitely don't like it like under either. I like it right in the sweet spot.
Yeah. The golden brown method when you kind of roast it like a rotisserie chicken and you just
exactly.
get the golden on all sides. You avoid the burn. It does make sure it's fully cooked because there are some times when you just burn it and you get the char and then the inside is not cooked and it's just like still chewy. I think all of it is good. S'mores are one of my most favorite desserts and
such a good
you tend
dessert,
to only eat them in the summertime, but I think, you know, year round on the stove, I would do that. So,
I mean, they're not difficult too. It's just like boom, boom. And you got like the perfect dessert. You're right.
It's like a classic
combination of everything.
Absolutely. It's very classic. And, love putting on some Reese's, peanut butter cups. Those are great on there too.
Yeah. I've never changed it up. I've always gone like Hershey's chocolate or whatever the chocolate is, you know, and, do you ever mess with a different type of graham cracker, like a cinnamon one or anything?
I haven't, but I think it would be pretty good. I guess they have like chocolate graham crackers too. There's probably a couple of flavors. I have done actually the rice cakes and not like the full thick Quaker rice cakes that you see in those tubes, but like they have some thinner ones and they have some flavored chips, rice cracker chips. And those are actually pretty good because I've got a friend who's gluten-free, so we've had to come up with some, you know, options on the sides. And those can be
work around for the dessert.
Yeah, those can be tasty because you can get different flavors of those. So I would suggest that if you're gluten free, that's a good way to go.
Probably a different type of crunch and texture too.
It is.
Yeah, I don't mind sometimes like a little bit of a char on the marshmallow, kind of like a little burnt end, but I definitely don't want it all the way. So toasty brown rotisserie style. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, s'more sounds so good. Well, I will probably make a birthday s'more later today.
You deserve it. Yeah.
But before we get into all the details of this forecast, I do want to say Your Weather is proud to partner with Keep Oregon Green, and wildfire season is here, which means we all need to do our part to prevent wildfires.
When you light a campfire, follow these safety tips. Clear around the campfire site, making sure it is free of flammable vegetation. Burn wood only. Attend your campfire at all times. To put out a campfire, drown the flames, stir the ashes, then drown it again. And make sure your campfire is dead out before you go to sleep or leave the campsite.
You can learn more about preventing wildfires at keeporegongreen.org. And there are so many restrictions on campfires right now, so making a wild s'more in the forests of Oregon, probably not something that we can do at this point in the summertime for many areas. You can check all those restrictions online at those US.gov websites. But yeah, just make sure you are being responsible out there. We've already seen a number of wildfires this season. So even if you want to make a s'more, just be very responsible and safe out in the forest.
Yeah, it's not worth it. I know the s'mores are good.
I know, right?
It's just, you know, find the safe way to approach that. Yeah, things just go so quick. It's so dry. It's breezy. Just, I don't know. It's just tough out there. You want to enjoy everything, but
you do.
Can't enjoy it if it's on fire.
Exactly. Well, this week we have a lot to get into. I think the three big headlines are heat in Portland, thunderstorm threat on the east sides, and just fire growth and smoke with our wildfires currently out there. So let's start with the thunderstorms and just fires out in eastern and central Oregon. I know you've been tracking a lot of monsoonal moisture. It's almost like another surge of this mid-level moisture has been rolling through since the weekend. Joseph, did you see any of that when you were here over the weekend?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's signs of that moisture moving in our direction from thunderstorms developing in Nevada and California, Northern California, just inching and inching closer and closer. We didn't have any storm activity here in Oregon through the weekend, but we could track it. And you can see the shift of the wind. And so we are expecting that today. I think there might have been even a couple early showers and thunderstorms developing in Oregon on Monday morning, which you could see the moisture from our water vapor imagery, but we didn't really have much model support for that for today. But it's probably going to pick up at times for this afternoon. I think more of a threat on Tuesday. But yeah, we've been watching it. Las Vegas had massive storms last night. And I did see a graphic from the National Weather Service down in Tucson where they've had over 5 inches of rain so far.
Oh, my goodness.
And
yeah.
Flash flooding. And Arizona's just had a really wet monsoon season so far. So
yeah, and this is the area that typically sees this type of weather. And areas of Las Vegas even can sometimes get those strong of storms and intense rainfall, thunder, lightning within these storms too. I was watching that water vapor loop as well. And you could just see last night that just this massive convective area rolled through the city of Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is just south of us. And we are seeing that monsoonal moisture even creeping up into Oregon. And this morning there were some thunderstorms on the radar. And we're still tracking them too as we're recording this podcast Monday morning. So yeah, Tuesday, I think we see a greater threat as more of that moisture kind of seeps in and we pair it with some heat. We can see some convection, and it'll mainly impact areas in southern central Oregon with thunderstorms that could produce some light rainfall, but also abundant lightning. So our wildfire risk is high again. The Bootleg fire was sparked by lightning. So this is concerning to see these storms at this point in the year rolling through some of the driest areas in Oregon.
Yeah, it's a balance. You want the rain, but we just don't get enough widespread rain to really make a huge difference. And so some of those thunderstorms that develop with lightning, that's almost more harm than good, because it could also produce really gusty conditions, which could make some of the wildfires erratic. So yeah, we definitely don't want that. And just watching the explosion of thunderstorms to the south, you're like fearful of them reaching us, but then we know that it just doesn't. The moisture doesn't really hold together. So yeah, we get some thunderstorms, but it's just not as much as what we had, that, you know, what you might see down in Arizona or Nevada at this time.
Yeah, some of that more intense weather. Well,
very intense, yeah.
Very intense. We will see some clouds from this surge of moisture pushing up the valley. So Monday in Portland, let's now bump to the valley's forecast. I think we'll actually see some partly cloudy conditions today. Not as much blue skies, sunshine, you know, that perfect summertime weather like we saw over the weekend. And we're also going to pair this week with some heat. The end of it looking like we'll see some excessive temperatures and some scorching temperatures in Portland once again.
Yeah, it gets toasty. Yeah. Over the weekend, we had 91 degrees on Saturday, 91 on Sunday. I think with the cloud coverage today, it should probably keep us under 90 degrees. And probably on Tuesday as well. So far, we're going with that. But I know by the end of the week, I think we push in mid-90s maybe. So this is the warmest stretch of, I was saying over the weekends, the warmest stretch of days we've seen since our June heat wave. Mid-90s, upper 90s maybe even
right.
for some places.
I believe the only 90-degree day aside from this past weekend was at the very beginning of the month, right?
Yeah. And then I think it was the 5th maybe, the day after 4th or something like that, something close to that.
Yeah, so we've just kind of been sitting in the 80s, and we've seen some of the upper 80s, and that has been hot too. But now we're entering the stretch of low 90s to mid-upper 90s by Wednesday. So right now in my forecast, I've got the upper 80s through Tuesday, which we should all enjoy because it just gets hotter. Wednesday is the first 90-degree day of the week, and then Thursday, Friday are the two hottest days, at least in the mid-90s. I think I have 96 on Thursday, 97 degrees in Portland on Friday. It's just, this will be something, you know, new. We haven't seen these temperatures since the late June, early July heat that we got.
Yeah, and it'll be different from the weekend. The weekend was, it was almost bearable because we only had maybe an hour or so at 90, or we barely peaked and hit 90 degrees. Like, I never even saw 91 come up on the observation. And then at the end of the day, it was like, oh, we hit 91, you know. But I think we'll be in the 90s for, you know, multiple hours as we go into the latter section of the week. So it's actually going to feel a little bit hotter. Your house might warm up and stay that way through part of the evening. So be prepared for it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Just a longer duration of these hot temperatures when we're seeing these days with this heat. So, yeah, that sticks around. In general, our weather pattern not really changing. This ridge sticks and it's just going to keep us dry. So we're not seeing widespread rain in Portland. And all the rain in Oregon is mostly coming from thunderstorms and these surges of moisture that may drop some showers too. But that's about it. And in terms of smoke, we've still fared pretty good in Portland. We've kept good air quality through the entire summer, mainly since things started to burn and wildfires began. It's mostly stayed in southern central Oregon just due to our wind direction.
Yeah. And I think that there's a possibility that we may get some high level smoke moving through the Cascades, you know, government camp up towards the gorge, maybe the southern Willamette Valley as the wind shifts slightly Tuesday. But I still think we avoid most of the smoke for us here in the greater Portland metro area. I don't see it as a major concern.
Yeah.
Yet.
I don't either. And we can only see maybe 3 to 5 days out too. How these winds are going to change. But so far, the westerlies have really helped us. You know, the wind blowing off the ocean, there's no smoke originating over the ocean. So our air has been fairly clean and the fires transport the smoke to the east of Portland and in eastern Oregon. So that's why the smoke has been really concentrated out there. And so far, we're not really seeing much change to this upper level pattern that has been driving our winds and the smoke. So that's good news for folks in Portland, not so much for people who do live in central and north and southeastern Oregon, because that smoke has been pretty dense. There are still air quality alerts in place. And as these fires continue to burn, it's likely going to stay that way, at least for the next handful of days, maybe even weeks too.
Yeah. Last week, the big talk was, you know, wildfire smoke making it all the way out to New York from Oregon.
Oh, my gosh.
Across the United States. So, you know, we're in the part of you know, the country and the world where we have the westerlies. So we have the wind blowing from the west to the east generally, unless there's a major change. And so the smoke has been going that way. So it's really hard to imagine how close we are to the wildfires, but we're not getting that much smoke here in Portland, but places, you know, 1,000+ miles away are dealing with the wildfire smoke more than we are here. And I think that's probably going to be the case, at least for right now. We haven't seen an east wind really pick up yet.
Yeah. I think it's also been nice that there haven't been many large fires across the state. We went from 9 of them, 8 of them, to now about 4. And it's mainly the Jack Fire in the Cascades, the Brewer Fire, The Jack Fire, I believe, is around 20,000 acres, a little larger than that. And the Brewer Fire is still under 500 acres. And then the Bootleg Fire, the largest in the state and the nation, is over 400,000. And then we've got the Elbow Creek Fire east of Pendleton. Yeah. It's in the Wallowa Mountains. That is around 20,000 acres, too. So that's it. Aside from very tiny fires that have been sparked that are only 100 acres or so, we've only got three or four big ones across the state now. And firefighters continue to mop up those lines.
Yeah. And that containment number for the Bootleg Fire continues to go up and up. I think it's close to
50%. It's over 50%. I think 54 as of Monday morning. These numbers are always changing. I'm concerned about the heat late in the week. That's going to make it a little hard for firefighters to continue their drive to mop up the flames. So I know when we saw that big heat streak and we hadn't really seen much monsoonal moisture or thunderstorm threat, that's when the Bootleg Fire saw explosive growth. Also due to the fact that we had some gusty winds and that pattern setting up. So I'm curious to see how the end of the week looks with this heat setting up back in Oregon and if we'll see any more pyrocumulus clouds, because those can create their own weather conditions around the fires that make it very tough to fight. You know, gusty winds, even it can produce its own lightning and just cause some dangerous conditions.
Yeah, real quick, I want to bring it up. Without extending the podcast too long, they had confirmed a tornado had generated in the Bootleg Fire. I think it was maybe Friday, Saturday, so sometime over the weekend they had confirmed it. And there's photos out there that you can see of all the trees that were hit from that fire. So I put out an article last week about wildfires creating weather, and I think Kelly talked about it a little bit as well. So if you're interested in that, check it out. It's just the power that you get from these massive wildfires is so extreme.
It is crazy to think how these smoke plumes can drive convection, so upward motion, which then creates a storm cloud, which then can get so big and energized that it creates its own weather right in this isolated area. And these storms are big. They're about the size of thunderstorms, like a naturally occurring one. And it can hold lightning. And we just saw one over the weekend, right, with a tornado that caused damage. So I think that is just incredible. It's the power of nature is just something to be so intrigued about. I just love hearing that stuff.
Yeah, that's why we got into this. And, you know, it's just
right?
the awe, So
crazy.
Interesting. And I also want to bring back, not to go back too deep, but we're not going to be breaking any records probably at the end of the week.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it. These records go back to 2009 when we saw a streak here in August where we saw triple digit weather. We were up to about 107 back in 2009 around this time of the year. So we're not going to reach that. At least the forecast right now is showing the upper 90s, and most ensemble forecasts are also capping out right about there. So we'll see how the models adjust. If they do, I think we'll go up or down by, you know, 2 or 3 degrees, nothing too intense. So triple digits right now, it's not in the forecast, but still the mid upper 90s. That's going to be hot, especially when we see hours with those temperatures during each of these days. So still expect to see some heat, and we'll track any changes that occur in the forecast.
Yeah, I think this is about the point of time where we end up topping off with our temperatures and we start heading the other direction here shortly. So
that's right.
This is about it.
84 degrees is our normal high temperature. So we'll be above that, maybe by about 10 degrees or so. And then we start to cool off as we head into the end of August and beyond. And cool off, I mean, it's a very slow decline, but yep, we have reached peak heat. So prep for the heat. Make sure you keep your eyes on the forecast with us for any wildfire danger. And again, more details on this little heat wave that arrives in Portland. But thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to Your Weather on the COIN Podcast Network. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Keep Oregon Green. Prevent wildfires. The COIN Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.